Welcome to Rise and Shine, raw chats with real women in Australian small business. In each candid conversation with a small business owner, we'll explore the messy back end of business with heaps of golden wisdom to help you learn, grow, and live your truth. I'm your host, Rachel Green, SEO copywriter and founder of Shine Copy. Let's do it. Marketing trends. Do you get on board or do you stick to your own thing? Whatever works for you in your small business, it's worth being aware of what 2024 has in store for marketing, because marketing is one thing we can't go without. So this ep is with Shay Bianco from Shay Bianco Consulting. She's your marketing buddy, here to take the dread out of marketing and show you the how while getting you the results you want. It's kind of ironic that I have invited you onto my pod to talk about 2024 marketing trends when you recently posted that you don't follow trends. This is going to make for an intriguing chat.
Well, you know, I'm not one to conform.
Wow. So conversions don't come from riding the trend wave. Talk to me more about this.
They do not, no, absolutely. Well, think about it. You know, go back to the Barbie trend, okay? Everyone was on to the Barbie trend. We saw it everywhere. It was the whole market was saturated. And then all the emails would land into your inbox with the Barbie headings, etc. Did you open any of them?
Probably not. Anything in my feed that was Barbie, I just scrolled past. Like, I saw the movie. I enjoyed the movie for what it was, and yeah. I recognized the marketing prowess, I suppose, that it had for that time for Barbie, but I didn't like engage with anything else Barbie related because it wasn't Barbie and it was all the same and it was just all like scrollable basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it does have its place as far as, you know, you might get a short burst of awareness, I get that, and followers. But those followers from that trend are not going to really turn into sales or leads because they see it everywhere and it's not exciting. It's not, you know, stopping that scroll for that moment in time. And I just, it's a flash in the pan, in all honesty. That's why I just don't really jump on them and kind of do my own thing.
I know that you have had, before you had this marketing consulting business, you had an extensive career. You worked in government, tourism, you've worked with small business. You ran the Kickass Collective, which I'd love to hear about. And now you're back to small business marketing. So are there any trends that you have followed in your career ever in all of that?
Nothing that stands out. I think for me it would have to have a strategy behind it because I do like to post with purpose, as I say, and if it doesn't at the time or it doesn't align with, you know, the theme for what I'm following for the month or, if, for example, I'm in launch mode, that type of thing, then I'm not going to disrupt that to jump on a trend for a second and mix my messaging all up.
So at what kind of point did you realize that trends aren't going to fly? Like, was there something that happened in like either your small business or your Kickass Collective or your previous career that made you go, this is just not going to get the results that we want?
I think it's just my personal behavior and the way I consume social media in general. It doesn't hold my attention, in all honesty. I mean, go back to the Super Bowl that's recently just happened, and people would tune into that for the very first time because it was, you know, Taylor Swift and, you know, Kelsey focused type thing. But Super Bowl's not relevant in Australia, and yet you see all these memes popping up, and I'm like, I get it. And it's valid for maybe 24, 48 hours, but did you really have to post that in the first place? And it's also about understanding your audience as well. Is it relevant to your audience? If not, then don't do it.
Pure and yeah, simple. That's a good, I guess, rule of thumb. Hmm. So given all of this, like your approach to marketing and doing business, what's your small business marketing forecast for 2024? What are the things we're going to see happening?
I think it's based on current consumer trends at the moment. And I'm being drawn back into nostalgia in a big way at the moment. I mean, you just have to walk into a Glassons, into a Sports Girl, etc., and all the 90s pants are back that, you know, used to wear in high school, that type of thing. And I think that's drawing us all back to a time where we didn't have to make as many decisions. It was a lot simpler And it's also kind of that comfort factor as well. And so I think that needs to be built into your marketing efforts this year. And we're basically wanting to be less stressed, in all honesty. And yeah, and this is where it's really understanding who your audience is and those buying behaviors and personalities behind how they consume their content and really pulling in on that. And that's coming right back to knowing who your audience is. And I'm not talking the customer avatar or the persona, as we've all kind of heard. I'm really wanting you to drill down a lot deeper to understand the psychology of how they purchase and the decisions they make. And it's not only kind of the, I guess, the surface level stuff, it's where they hang out as well and how they consume their everyday information that's coming to them. So it's bringing all those components into it. And that's why, coming back to that nostalgia, I'm being drawn into it. And think about the way that kind of you consume. And is this relevant? Is the empathy there for your audience to kind of bring them along for the ride in what you're doing and really take them on the journey with you? I mean, it's exciting when a product or a new service is being offered by your favorite person that you cannot kind of scroll past. We've got all those wonderful business owners in the community that we kind of can't wait for their email, or we've put notifications on to consume their content, that type of thing. There's a reason for that, and they make us feel the feel. So we've got to kind of tap back into that. So coming back full circle, nostalgia and making your audience feel comfortable and being empathetic is going to be key. And I know those words, being genuine and authentic, are banged around like there's no tomorrow, but there's truth in it, because if you're not yourself, your true colors are going to come out. Yes.
Right, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And secondly, I would say, and this is bring it right back to the touch points that you have with your customer through the whole customer journey, from bringing them right on board. How do you do that? Is there a little kind of surprise and delight in there as well? And also, the email marketing, I think, plays a really big part in this process as well. And segmenting down, getting those segmentation lists. Drill down a little bit deeper than, did they come from a lead magnet or did they just subscribe from your website? Try and tag them. And this is where the personalization is really going to come into it. And you can have a bit of a play around within the content of your marketing as well. I love it personally when people kind of throw my name, Shay, a lot into the copy of the email, because it draws my attention straight away and it makes me feel special. Oh, okay. She knows my name, even though I literally typed it in. But do you know what I mean? It draws my attention straight away. So just those little personal touches are going to go a long way. That user experience is what's going to set you apart from everyone else this year. Big time. What else? Oh, AI. I mean, we can't get away from it. Let's be honest there. And I want you to remember that it is a tool. It's not going to take your job. It's going to be there to help you and to find those efficiencies in your business. It just makes your life that little bit easier. Just treat it as a friend. Don't think of it as an enemy, because there's ways that you can really incorporate it into your business that are going to help you with that day to day as
What's
well.
an example of that, Shay?
I really like it for idea generation. Like, some days you need to talk about things 100 times differently for, say, one product. And you're just like, how can I talk about this in a different way than I haven't already in the past, type thing? And it's really good for just giving me fresh approaches and new ideas and ways to kind of tackle it from different angles and point of views. That's what I love. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, I've only got one brain that can get exhausted at times. So I treat it that way. And it just helps me so much.
Yes, I've used it a few times for idea generation too, or just a different approach to a problem, or even different words. For example, like as a copywriter,
True.
I feel like I sometimes move in my brain, you know, in the like in a repetitive way, and I'm like, I just need different ways to say this, like outside my normal mindset. And so sometimes using AI like Claude or ChatGPT have like inspired, I guess, new ideas, new words. So there is a place for it. I think AI is like we do rely on it, I think, more than we know. For example, with like paid ads, like Facebook ads, that is, or LinkedIn ads, or whatever you're doing, that is AI like figuring out where your audience is on that app and when to deliver the ad to them, right?
Absolutely, yes. You'd be surprised by how much we actually use it and don't realize we're using it.
Yes.
Absolutely. And to be honest, myself personally, I've only just touched the surface. I really want to look at it from a workflow perspective in ways that I can really cut down my administration, moving forward and my onboarding of clients, that type of thing. That's really where I'm going to be looking at AI to help me cut that down this year. And one other thing is omni-channel marketing, which I don't know if you've heard the term before.
I
Because
have.
people, when I go to start work with a client, the first thing they talk about is Instagram. And it's like, well, hang
Course.
on. Instagram is only one platform. We have a lot of other things to factor in with your marketing, but it's focused on so heavily. And as we know, the algorithm is not being our friends at the moment, and it's really hard to cut through. And there's experts out there saying that Instagram is becoming more of an entertainment platform rather than a community connection platform, which is what we wanted Instagram to be in the first place. That's how we build the communities around our business, and Instagram is a really big part of that, but it's definitely shifted. And that's why the omni-channel marketing approach is really, really important to bring in the email marketing, the SEO, and all the other components, your personal brand, into that marketing mix to really spread the awareness and, shout your business out loud. Don't rely on Instagram alone. It kills me.
When you said the word marketing mix, it took me back to the four P's of marketing:
Oh,
product,
yes.
promotion, place. Does that still have a place in marketing these days?
Oh my God, yes, the OG principles absolutely still have a place. I mean, it's the backbone of everything that we do, from building a strong brand to understanding your audience, building trust, providing value and the solution that they need. All of those things are the undertone to everything we do.
Yes, and the foundation of a marketing strategy, right? Figuring out those things
Absolutely.
and the sweet spot.
Oh, I do love a good sleep spot. That's my specialty, pulling out people's secret sources. And often people don't know. They don't know their secret source. They don't know their USP and what's there and what makes them so special. And then when I have a meeting with them, they're like, "Oh my God, I didn't even know that, Shay." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's because someone else is telling you that. It's making you realize that you've been so in your business for so long. And these are the things that you should be shouting out loud." And that's what I grab onto, and that's what makes them unique. And then they fall in love with their business again, so I love it.
Yes, it's similar with copywriting. Often clients don't realize because they need that external in viewpoint. And then they're like, oh, yes, that is how we pitch it. Or that is the messaging. I hadn't realized because I'm just in it all the time. So that external
Yes.
perspective is incredibly powerful.
Absolutely. And finding the opportunities that you'd never thought of as well, the areas that you can discover, and being able to have that accountability with myself, to come back in a few months' time and say, "Oh, how did you go? Oh my God, why didn't I do this earlier?" You've got nothing to lose by giving it a go. And it's understanding, A, again, back where your audience kind of hangs out and obviously who they are. So we don't want to be trying everything, but for example, I'm absolutely loving Threads at the moment. I don't know if you've tried it, Rachel, but it's like a personal journal. It's wonderful. There's no filter on there at all. Everyone's just saying what's on their mind, and it's absolutely gold. And I've got a few of my clients on there recently, and they're like, "Oh, wow, I'm actually getting some wonderful feedback and some ideas." and some avenues to try that I haven't really thought of before. And it's all because they just gave it a go.
Yeah,
That's it.
I haven't
So
jumped on Threads, but it sounds like if there's a realness there that's missing from other channels, then it's worth checking out for sure. It's just a matter of finding brain space and time in my day to get on
well, yeah, time
there.
is another is another whole thing, isn't it? We all have these grand
Yes.
ideas that we need time to execute them.
Excuse this interruption, but while I don't do paid ads in my pod, I am allowed to promote my own content. So if you want to know your audience deeper than you know your own child, download my free Articulate Your Audience workbook on my website. It also gives you access to lots of the prompts I use to write sticky, juicy copy that's infused with audience insights. Head to shinecopy.com.au and download it now. Shay, you've mentioned a few times about knowing your audience and like for segmentation and personalization and just like the understanding your audience is sounds like if you understand that, you remove a huge barrier. So how do you help people really know their audience?
Research and asking them directly, in all honesty, like, when was the last time that you sent out a survey or asked your audience directly, how or what they want? It's very rare. We do it for a moment in time, perhaps when you're starting your business within like the first year, because obviously there's a lot of testing involved and you're finding your way. But then that's about it. We don't tend to go back to it again. Or perhaps when you're looking to, launch a new product or that type of thing. But I think it needs to be ongoing. So I like to prompt them to really ask your audience what they want and what they don't want, and then take that information directly and act on that. It's really important.
You mean ask them, like, I think people sometimes struggle with that. Like, okay, ask, but how? Like, do you mean, I'm guessing you don't mean like on stories. You might mean like a Google survey or something that you send to your email subscribers. Like, is that what you mean?
I mean, yes, I like to do it across different areas. So I will send them an email directly that's personalized directly, to them. This is obviously pulling a pool of testers, for example, say 10 people. The more personalization you use, the better in the response that you're going to get. And simple polls and quizzes on Instagram is another great way to do it as well. Throwing out to the general public as far as threads or Facebook groups, if you have one, that type of thing. And also direct messaging as well through DMs, through that tester group is another really great way to do it. And also you can create a closed friends on Instagram, which I've used for various things. And that's another really great way because people instantly see the green circle around the highlight and think, I'm really special. So they're
It's
more than
true.
likely to give you a response.
What about for like new brands who are just starting and don't have a customer base yet? How would do you think they would do this kind of research?
In all honesty, it's guessing and testing. At that very stage, you're literally just throwing it out there and seeing what works. Hopefully, you've grabbed some actual market data before you've launched your business, so you have the foundation. But in that first 6 to 12 months, you are very much in a testing phase and seeing what works and what doesn't work. And from there, you'll have enough data or enough customer clientele base to perhaps pull that beta group or at least a group of, 10 or whatever you feel is appropriate.
What about like the role of search, like with AI, with Google and TikTok? What are your thoughts on that?
I think Generation Y and that are really gravitating towards using it as a search engine. For example, I'm going to Bali later in the year. I jumped on TikTok first up and searched Bali.
Really?
Yeah, that way. Because I'm getting honest feedback. And for me, that I really resonate with that a lot more. I love TikTok. But also, for example, Coca-Cola just launched a brand new flavor, spiced, and they're only selling it through the TikTok store. So
Ah.
brands are really using TikTok search and that in a new, innovative way. And
Given all of this, so what kind of like metrics or ROI, like what kind of data are you seeing from your activities?
being that I beat to the beat to my own drum, in all honesty, my email marketing is working an absolute treat at the moment, and I'm have to say I'm really proud of my email list, and I'm putting a lot of effort into this. For example, I looked at ways that I could do my email marketing really differently this year, and I was sending out a newsletter that, had your tips, advice, all those types of things, the latest marketing news, but also what I was doing in my business that could help others. But that's what everyone does. And so I'm looking at my newsletter thinking there must be a way that I can invigorate this or do things differently. And so I've launched a digital marketing magazine, The Mixed Tape, pulling on that nostalgia that everyone's, craving at the moment. And wow, I only sent out my first edition earlier in the month, and it's going bananas. The feedback has
Amazing.
been incredible. And it's also the way that I presented it as well, with that user experience. So I'm really big on looking at every touch point. And I used an app where you literally flicked the pages. So it felt like a magazine when it was presented. All those little things. And so I was presenting the same information, but just in a different way. And so this is kind of the way that I'm approaching my business this year in general is really looking at what I have, but how can I deliver it in a different way and be really innovative in the process and in how I deliver it. So my email marketing, based on that one and previously, my open rate was 68 to 72%,
That's
which,
amazing.
yeah, and to be honest with you, my email marketing, I put a lot of effort into, and probably more than I should. Like, it can honestly take me a day to do a whole email, but I really take pride in it, and it shows. When I say hit reply, let me know what you think. I do. I get replies, and I get, oh wow, I sat down with my coffee and my notebook. That was amazing, type thing. And I'm like, oh, people are actually reading my emails. Okay,
Well,
so
it's
yeah.
efficient, it's cheap, it's very personalized, it's
Oh.
segmented, it's all the things you want any marketing channel to be, right?
Absolutely, yes, and it should be used a lot more, considering that it is a channel that we own and that we have complete control over. For example, Instagram, we don't own it. You could lose your account tomorrow, and then if you've put all your eggs in one basket, how are you going to market your business? If you kind of look at each platform you use differently, as in what do you want this platform to do? I think that's where the magic is.
Let me run through a list of other marketing activities or tactics, and you tell me where they're at now for 2024. One we haven't talked on, which is huge, and it's obviously my area, but SEO and search, like what's
Yes.
happening with that? What's your take on
Oh,
that for
as
this year?
far as a small business focus for 2024, yes, this is definitely one that you should be jumping on board as far as updating your Google My Business and really using that. It's don't just kind of add photos every now and then. Really look at the keywords that you are using on your Google My Business, and also local keywords within your website as well, which you would be, Rachel, really big on this.
Probably for product brands, it's probably not as relevant, the local search element necessarily, depending on the context.
Correct.
But yes, SEO is here to stay.
Bringing back to a community, I think we all should be building a community around our business. And that's where the local approach is still really important. Going back to those OG marketing foundations, is building a community is a marketing tactic that I think is underutilized. And for example, I was asked to do a talk to a local business group in Bayside, and just the amount of extra business and things I got from that was wonderful. All the connections I made, business besties I've been having breakfast, that type of thing. It's just really lovely. I don't think we should underestimate building a community around what you do and sharing your passion and your purpose with people that get it.
Yes, and putting yourself out there in real life if that's appropriate for your brand.
I know.
So what about like lead magnets? Like, does the old ebook or checklist thing still work?
They do. Based on our level of concentration and lack of focus that we all have at the moment, checklists are going bananas right now. It's a really quick, easy win for your audience to obtain. and really minimalizing the way that they obtain that. For example, just purely putting in a name and an email, they should be able to get that download. Don't make them jump through all these hoops to get a simple download, because the barrier that you've put up already is detracting them from really engaging with you in a way that they would like. So keep it
Yes.
really simple.
Yes, I agree. And just like with like your website content in terms of SEO, people want answers quickly delivered in a human way. So the same with your lead magnet. If you're making people do a multiple steps to actually get the thing, which should ideally be a high value piece that's full of information and answering the questions they have about something kind
Yes.
of high level, then yeah, just make it simple. Name, email, boom, email it to them. That's it.
Done.
And then the rest they
Absolutely. And then obviously build them into your email, welcome flow, etc. They'll follow on. They'll start to be on your email list and receive all your goodies. But yeah, we don't want to be making it hard for them. And you made a great point. It does have to be high value and one that gives them that quick win almost instantly. Yeah.
Yes. The other thing that I think that's changing the marketing scape is dark social. So for people who might not have heard about that, it's basically incorrect attribution of Google Analytics tracking users from social media platforms. So for example, the web analytics referral data shows you like from Facebook, LinkedIn, Reddit, Slack, X. It shows you on your analytics that they're sending you very little traffic. So business owners assume, oh, I'm not getting traffic from it. But those social referrals are being hidden intentionally by social networks because they want you to use their ad platforms and pay them directly for you to see any ROI. Isn't that
That's cheeky.
very, it's kind of like AI coming into force in my mind in a very unethical way because
Wow.
yeah, and some estimates are that LinkedIn specifically hides up to 75% of referrals they send to your site. So that even if you are getting lots of traffic or data from an app, you can't see it. They just want to get your money so that you pay for you paid ads within that app, instead of getting it for free in your Google Analytics. So this is something to watch.
Wowzers.
I recommend
Okay.
people Google more about this from a reputable person, but this is a thing that's been around for months. Dark social. Go Google it.
I will. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yep. It's begun.
Yes, because I think like the thing that I've learned from what I haven't done paid ads. It's just not for me. But the thing that I've learned from reading about it is that, but like particularly Facebook ads, that can give you so much rich data. And it's harnessing AI and personalization, and it's able to basically predict a user's behavior. So, for example, if they say you're looking at these things, or they know that, you're going to order probably Thai takeaway come Friday night, they're able to learn your behavior and feed you the ads that you want. And there's so much rich data in that for marketers, particularly for big
Yes.
brands, I guess, who've got money and budgets for this, that they're more likely to invest in that paid ad because of that data backing it than they are with maybe other marketing activities like, I don't know, live events or things that are just don't have as much rich data. So yes, the marketing landscape is different in 2024, that's for sure. And I think
Oh.
it's wise to follow your gut, do your research, and only do the things if it actually feels right for you.
Oh, 100%. Yes, it's changing at such a rapid rate, and it honestly is really hard to keep up with. And that's where those, I keep saying, OG fundamentals, they still have power. They still hold a place in the marketing landscape, and they shouldn't be forgotten. They honestly shouldn't be, because they are the undertone of everything that you do. Think about all the experiential marketing and the immersive marketing that's coming out at the moment. It's really exciting pulling it. And you're seeing trams around London, with these giant mascara lashes on, and Bondi Beach with these big inflatables. And it's really exciting, but that's all come from understanding your audience and all those fundamentals. So if you're stuck, if you don't want to follow those trends, you don't want to get into AI or what, that's absolutely fine. Go back to the OG stuff and really
Yes,
drill down on that.
the classics.
Classic.
So, humanity, do we still need it in marketing in 2024?
Oh, hell yeah. Connection. We all want it. I mean, there's still effects from the pandemic out there. We're only just getting back into events and networking. And although we are being selective with where and who we spend our time, we need it. And marketing is human to human, really. And I think I need it. I'm only just starting to come back out of my shell, in all honesty.
It's true. Humanity is here to stay, and we are humans serving humans, whether it's a product or a service. So, in my opinion, humanity always has a place, and it's how we should lead.
Absolutely. And this is why, we're so, with our buying behavior these days, we look to the brands that are authentic and that are showing their values and that are aligned with our values. And this really is indicative of the way that we purchase and the research that we do before we purchase. We want to connect with those brands on a deeper level. And this is where the human to human kind of side comes into
Maybe a
play.
little bit more personally here. What are some of your biggest wins, whether business or personal life, like in the like lately?
Honestly, I think it's the way that I've structured my business. I burnt out quite badly at the start of last year, and it was not wonderful, put it that way, because I'm a people pleaser and I'm a giver. And so this gets me into trouble because I
Yes.
give, 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 and I get so invested in everyone else's business and wellness and their success that I always forget myself.
Yes, and then you're like serving from a deficit, right?
Absolutely. My tank was never full, put it that way, never. And so that's why I actually closed down my women-led business community. I had that for nearly 6 years. And I had hubs in Gippsland and Mornington Peninsula and everywhere. And so I personally was driving to all of these meetings and trainings and doing online and master classes and workshops, and it was just me. So I don't honestly know how I did it. So this time round, I have structured my business in a way that suits my energy or lack of. So I only work 4 days a week. I only work from 10 to 2 every day because I have kids at school. And I like to do my washing and all that. I work from my dining table, so I'm not gonna glorify it. And I like to get all the house stuff done before I sit down for the day, so my head's focused because I do only have those 4 hours. And then I give myself Fridays off.
What a dream. That is the
Yeah,
best.
I know. But that is a boundary that I do not cross in the communication with clients and everything like that. They know that I am available from 10 to 2, and it's so
Wow.
far working a treat.
So
But that's
you
a lesson
work,
learned.
yes.
Yeah,
Wow. So you work 16 hours a week.
that's it.
Incredible.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
what's the hardest thing about running your business?
For me, loneliness.
Oh.
Yeah, I am a people person, but I'm also an ambient as well. So I crave energy or gain energy when I'm around people, but I also need to have my quiet time and, read my books, that type of thing. And working from the dining table most days doesn't really do that for me. So, I like to cafe hop around, and I do have some beautiful business besties that we call each other and go, okay, we need to get out of the house, or we need to do this, let's catch up and have a kind of co-working session. But I think the loneliness is probably the first thing. And the guilt that I have that I should be doing more within my business, it cripples me some days, in all honesty. It really cripples me because I think I should be doing more. And I really have to rein it in so I don't start burning myself out again and going back down that track again, because I'm a little bit of a perfectionist to a degree. But yeah, that's probably the biggest one.
Yeah,
See, I'm
I
being
think
brutally honest here, aren't
that's excellent.
I?
That's what we want. People love that.
Yeah.
I think that sense of guilt, like that's within yourself, not even like the mom guilt, but just the guilt, like, oh, I should be doing more. That's setting high expectations, isn't it? And sometimes I know that I need to just start my to-do list again with fewer things.
And yeah, lower those expectations. And especially around the school holidays, I found myself just getting frustrated. And I'd had lowered what I thought, I had lowered my expectations. I wasn't even doing the 4 hours a day. I was literally doing, like 2 hours in the morning, taking the kids out, trying to get some energy out of them, come back, do a couple more. But even that was frustrating me because I couldn't get things done. So it's just stepping away for a little bit, regrouping.
Yeah.
And yeah, coming
These
back.
holidays, I just surrendered. I just said, I'm not working at all. If you guys are home, I have three children, I'm not
Yeah.
working. So I worked 4 days in all of January. And for me, that if you're able to do it, I realize it's a privilege. But for
Yeah.
me, it was the right thing to do because those 4 days, while I got pretty much nothing done, because almost all that time was like, okay, G myself up to actually do the work. There wasn't much time to do the work. It
Yeah.
was better. I did a better job at that. I did a better job at mothering, at wifing, at all the things, because I just surrendered.
Yeah. And because it's funny, I don't know if it's the perception that I'm putting out there, but everyone's like, oh my God, you're doing so much, you show up so much. And I'm like, am I? I'm like, I think it's because I just have to be so focused within the time that I do have. I'm almost hyper-focused on what I do, so I can obtain that output, because otherwise, once the minute I pick the kids up from school, there's no way I can come back and touch back, pick it up again. Like, the day's done. So I have minimal time to do what I need to, and it's all about prioritizing also what I need to work on as well. That's a big thing. It's, okay, well, what's the immediate thing that I need to work on to move the needle forward? And that's the way I kind of tackle it.
Yes, I sometimes when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm like, what are the things that are going to make the biggest impact, whether it's for me or for a client? I'm like, choose three of those and do those, and the
Yeah.
rest will fit in. It will get done. Where should we go to find you online, to follow you, to check out your lead magnet and all your amazingness?
Yes, I have a very original business name, which is Shea Bianco Marketing. So Shea Bianco underscore marketing on Instagram is the best place to find me. And you'll find my 25 free marketing tactics as my current download there for you. And then you can join the email list, which will give you the marketing mixtape edition one as well.
Amazing. Thank you, Shay.
No worries.
You are so awesome. Thanks for listening to Rise and Shine. Please leave a review and subscribe so we can spread the love to more brave, business-minded women like you. You can find me online at shinecoffee.com.au.